So we got to the bottom of Nundalaman Bez, around 8 lines from the bottom. And where we were there was discussing, brought a number of brises comparing Tisha B'Av to the Tainus Tzibur and to Yom Kippur. And we were trying to understand what was the connection between the two. So we got to the first wide line down, the end of the line, Meisiveh. Meisiveh, we're asking the following question. Ein bein Tisha B'Av liyom HaKippurim, ela shezeh sveiko aser vezeh sveiko mutar. The Braisa says that Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are completely equal, except there's one difference. The one difference is that a Safek Yom Kippur is Aser, Safek Tisha B'Av is Mutter. My Sveiko Mutter, what does it mean, the Safek of Tisha B'Av is Mutter? La Ben Hashmashel Shalom, is it not to prove that the Safek, the time period that's a Safek, the time period of Ben Hashmashel, so we don't know if it's day or night, that period must be Mutter. And beforehand we were saying maybe it was Aser Ben Hashmashel. So Amar of Shishi Bredi Rav Idi Lo L'Kviya D'Yircha. So that's the Gemara said earlier. It wasn't referring to the Safek time of Ben Hashmashos. Rather, it's referring to we weren't sure when Tisha B'Av fell out. If it was, let's say, Tuesday or Wednesday. So when it came to Tisha B'Av, the Safek is Mutter. We said only one day of Tisha B'Av needs to be kept. When it came to the Safek when Yom Kippur fell out, we said it has 2 days of Yom Kippur have to be kept. Ah, we don't keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. So Tosis pointed out that referred to if you're in the Midbar, if you're in the desert, you don't know what day it is. In the Midbar, you have to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur because of Safek Derei Selachumra, not when it comes to Tisha B'Av. So that's the only difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. We don't know the day, the proper day. You don't have to keep 2 days for Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara makes a dik, Hal l'chol dvarim, everything else, zev zeh shavin. Must be every other halacha related to Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. Every halacha you could possibly think of is completely equal. So the Gemara says, so this must be a support, Messiah le'le Rabbi Elazar. This supports the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Dama Rabbi Elazar, aser lo le'adam yishayoshit etzba'o b'mayim b'tisha B'Av. Person is not allowed to stick his finger in water on Tisha B'Av. Kiderech she'aser lahoshit etzba'o b'yom HaKippurim. Just like a person can't stick his finger in the water on Yom Kippur. So that must be the true halacha, and this is very important. Keep this in mind. We'll get to an interesting brisk Rav in a moment. Meisiveh, I think we're asking another question. Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tainas tzibur. Now we're comparing Tisha B'Av to tainas tzibur. El shezeh aser ba'asiyas melacha, v'zeh muter ba'asiyas melacha. When it comes to Tainus Tzibur, one's not allowed to do any melacha at all. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, you can do melacha, depends on where you live, the makom shenagu, which place you live in, what the custom has been. Halachal divrehem, however, every other halacha, leaving aside melacha, everything else, Tainus Tzibur and Tisha B'Av are completely equal. Halachal divrehem zevid ashavin. V'ilu, if they're equal, V'ilu gavi Tainus Tzibur, already have the halacha that tells us, the Gemara and Tainus, Tanya kisha amru aser beruchitza. When we said it's aser to bathe on Tainus Tzibur, lo amru ela kol gufo. It's only problematic to bathe the entire body. Aval panav yad ragla, face, hands, legs, lo. There's no aser. So now here we just said before Tisha B'Av is compared to Yom Kippur, where even sticking your finger in the water is aser in Tisha B'Av. Now we're comparing Tisha B'Av to Tainus Tzibur, and Tainus Tzibur we say you're allowed to wash your hands, your face, your feet. So you can, of course, certainly put your finger in. So what's the halacha of Tisha B'Av? What's allowed? What kind of rechitza is permitted on Tisha B'Av? Is it more like Yom Kippur, everything's aser? Or is it more like Tainus Tzibur, where only the kol gufo is aser? So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Tana kula kula tani. Tana kuli kuli katani. What does that mean? So Rashi says, the top line, kol hani ein bains, all the ein bains, a bunch of ein bains that the Gemara is referring to. This Tisha B'Av is not like Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av is not like Tainus Tzibur. Chad Tana Amrinu, one Tana says them, the kule kule naked, they're only looking for the kulas, meaning. Bereish, in the beginning, Tana teaches, ein bain Tisha B'Av kal miyom HaKippur. There's only one leniency in regards to Tisha B'Av from Yom Kippur. L'chadchila, el shezeh sveiko. The one kula that exists for Tisha B'Av is that the case of a safek Tisha B'Av, we don't know what day it falls out, that's the only kula of Tisha B'Av. And the Seifa Tani Ein Tisha B'Av Kal Mitanis Tzibur El Linim Melacha. The only cool we find about Tisha B'Av with respect to Tani Tzibur is in terms of Melacha, that Tisha B'Av depends on the Minhag HaMakom, while Tani Tzibur is Aser across the board. Ubechumre de Chamir Tisha B'Av, that which Tisha B'Av is more Machmir Mitanis Tzibur, in this case Tisha B'Av is more Machmir, that you cannot even bathe, wash your finger, lo ivory. We're not dealing with the Chumras, we're only dealing with the Kulas. That's how the Gemara gets out of it. Now look at the top Tosos. The Tosos says, Kule Kule Katani, below the Rebbe Elazar, the Aser Lahoshit Etzba'o, B'mayim Tzarech Lomer Kuli Kuli Katani. The Hob B'Tisha B'Av L'Chua Pachos Kol Gufa Aser, Afil B'Tzonein, U'B'Tayin Tzibur Mutter B'Tzonein. So here we have the Gemara says, even without Rebbe Elazar, even without the case of, that Rebbe Elazar says it's Aser to stick your finger in the water, you could still have to say Kuli Kuli, because there's still another Chumra that exists by Tisha B'Av that doesn't exist by Tayin Tzibur. The Chumra is that the entire Guf you cannot bathe on Tisha B'Av, but the entire Guf you can by Tainus Tzibur. I mean, everyone agrees with Tisha B'Av and Tanya Sibur, you can wash your hands, you can wash your feet, you can wash your legs. But what you cannot do on a Tisha B'Av, you cannot wash your entire body. But Tanya Sibur, you can. So there's another difference that Gemara points out there, Tosus points out, there's a second difference. Without the Isser or Rabbi Elazar. Without getting too involved, I'm more interested in getting, there's a Brisker Rav based on this Tosus. Forget how based on the Tosus, but the Brisker Rav says that there really are two dinim that exist by Tisha B'Av. In terms of the Isser Rechitza, the two dinim. So one din is an Isser Avelus, and that's the Gemara in Tanya says, Kol ha-mitzos ha-nohagos be-avel nohagos be-tisha b'av. Any of the halachas that apply to an avel also apply to a tisha b'av. And he brings a raya that the Ramban writes that it's usher to do Rechitza already after Sudas Mafsekis. Erev tisha b'av. You have your final Suda.
Avelus or Shiva?
Avelus. I mean, that's, what's the difference?
Avelus is a year.
No, I'm saying, well, Avelus is, how he speaks of it, the concept of the morning. That's broken.
You mean the Shiva?
No, well, it's broken. Okay, Shiva, but Avelus is
no,
in general.
No, because Avelus took a shower to bath. I mean, what you're talking about.
Right, so, okay, fine. Avelus of Shiva. Right. Avelus is just a general term of
correct.
Avelus.
Okay.
The Shiva, Shloshim, Yud, Beis, Chavdesh. So, the Avelus is, all the halachas applied to an Avel apply to it, on Tisha B'Av. Ramban writes in Taras Adam, that's his Sefer, he writes on these in Yonim, he writes that, already after the Sudas Mafsekes, a person is not allowed to bathe already. Well, the tiniest didn't start yet. I finished eating fine, but the fast doesn't officially start until the nighttime. Why are you not allowed to bathe? So he writes, because Avelus already kicks in right after the Sudas Mafsekes. That's already the Avelus, even though there's no tiniest. So yet, on the other hand, when it comes to Avelus, you are allowed to wash your hands, you are allowed to wash your feet, you are allowed to wash your legs on for an Avel. But Tisha B'Av has another din, it's a din of a tinus, it's similar to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you can't even wash your finger. So you find that there are two dinim that exist when it comes to Tisha B'Av. And there's another raya also, he doesn't bring this though, but there's a famous Rambam in Perish Mishnah. So discussion of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Kippur, all these things. So the Gemara talks about Tosefes Shabbos, talks about Tosefes Yom Tov. The Rambam, for some reason, ignores all the Tosefes Shabbos. The only one case he brings Tosefes. Anybody know? One case he brings Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is the only time he mentions Tosefes Yom Tov. Doesn't mention it by Shabbos, doesn't mention it by Yom Tov. The Rambam Perish Mishnayos, all the way to the end in Maseches Tainis, he writes Tosefes also applies to Tisha B'Av. Tosefes Tisha B'Av. Tosefes Yom Kippur, Tosefes Tisha B'Av, what? Nothing to do with each other. Elamai, the Rambam must hold that there is a connection, that Tisha B'Av is like a tzibur. It's like a tiniest tzibur. It's like a tiniest of Yom Kippur. On one hand, it's a tzom. Yet, on the other hand, there's a din of Avelus. So, based on this Tosfos, again, without getting too involved how he learns this from Tosfos, the Brisker Rav says there, in fact, there are two dinim when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Says the Gemara, uvechol makom tam lechachom. So, this is going back to that Mishnah that said that a person should always consider himself a, first the Tanakhama said when it came to Malacha, everyone who's a Tam L'Chacham, he should always be batal. Even though a Tam L'Chacham might live in a makom that they do malacha on Tisha B'Av, a Tam L'Chacham should refrain from doing any malacha. Came along Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he said, every single person in regards to this halacha, a person should always consider himself a Tam L'Chacham, and therefore everyone should refrain from doing work. So what comes out is, the Gemara says, L'meimra, is this to say, D'rashbag savar lo chashino lihura? Does it mean to say Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is not concerned with hura, which means he's not concerned with the gaiva? That I'm not a Talmud Chacham, but I should still make myself a Talmud Chacham, put myself in that category of a Talmud Chacham. Isn't that a big gaivadik of myself? So we see Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is not concerned with a person being viewed as a Baal Gaiva. It's okay, and that's why he could be considered a Talmud Chacham in this halacha and not do any work. However, we find the opposite to be true. We find the opposite. The Tanan, the Mishnah Brachos tells us, Chasson, im yirta likros kriyashma laila harishon. The first night the chasson gets married. He's busy with so many things, of course. So the first night, the Tanakhama says, the first night, kore, he's allowed to recite kriyashma. Even though he's not going to have the proper kavana, he's going to be so involved that night, he still is supposed to read kriyashma that very night. Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel Omer, lo kol rotza litol es Hashem yitol. It's not allowed to do that. A person can't just come along and say, I'm going to be able to have kavana. Any other chasson, he can't. He can't have proper kavana the first night of getting married. I can. That he can't do. Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says that's yura, that's baal gaiva, that cannot be done. So here we see in the case of kriyashma, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is concerned with gaiva. Our case of Tisha B'Av, he's not concerned with gaiva. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan muchlefas hashita. You have to switch around who said which one. You have to switch. Let's say there's machlokas how exactly to switch them around, but Rashi doesn't even tell us which way to do it. But let's say our case, really, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says a person cannot make himself a Talmid Chacham, and Tanakhama says a person can make himself a Talmid Chacham, and therefore the Shitas are aligned properly. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi Amar, no, lo tipach, don't switch everything around, keep everything as is. Let's keep the two Mishnayos, don't mess around with the Girsos. But they're two different cases. They're Rabbanan, they're Rabbanan lo Kasha. It's not a Kasha, Rabbanan, there's no steer with each other. Hacha here, in regards to Tisha B'Av, Kevin de Chuliyama of Dimlacha, since everybody, the entire world is doing work, the entire city is doing work, V'ihu lo Avin, and this guy is not doing work, and this guy is clearly not a Talmid Chacham, Mechsekiroi, he's a Baal Gaiva. He's sitting back, crossing his arms, doing no work, as if he's a Talmid Chacham. He's a Baal Gaiva. That's not allowed in regards to Tisha B'Av. Aval Hasam, when it came to the case of the Chasam reciting Kriyat Shema, came into Chuliyama Kari, everybody's reciting Kriyat Shema. Everyone that night, the entire world is reciting Kriyat Shema. Vyunami Kari, he's also reciting. He's not doing anything different. He's going along with the klal. Lo Mechsekira, that doesn't appear like Baal Gaiva. You have to look at him with respect to everybody else. In the case of Tisha B'Av, he's the only one not doing work. That's a problem. When it comes to Shema, he is reciting with Shema along with everybody else, so therefore that is permitted. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama.
But are we concerned that he should look like a Baal Gaiva, or that it's also for a person to had to be a Baal Gaiva within himself?
Interesting. So it seems like the way it appears.
It looks more like it's not that exactly. He himself. Okay.
No, that's usually the case. It's about... Exactly.
Yeah.
It's usually that case. There's a discussion whether or not one's allowed to wear tefillin during mincha time bisman hazeh, because most people don't wear tefillin bisman hazeh during mincha time. If a person were to wear it, most don't. Let's say you're not a chabad. There's a case actually in YU a couple years ago. Someone started tefillin on during mincha time. Rosh Hashanah said you can't do that because that's yura. You might think you're on that level, but everyone else, the way it seems like it's a guy redik to do. So one shouldn't do that. Rosh Hashanah was against it. It's basically the Mishnah Berurah says this. Rav Nevinzal says otherwise. If Muhammad comes to tefillin during mincha time, it's not considered yura. So it goes on really based on appearance, I believe.
There's a
Chabad
in Midtown. There's always.
Sure,
I should daven
there.
Oh yeah, so this is one guy who always davens. And you look at him, you'll assume like he's not even Jewish. Happens to be this guy who's like struggling religiously, and doesn't daven every day with minyan whatever. But like he likes davening mincha. Because he's lazy in the morning; he can't wake up before like 10 o'clock.
Right, don't say anything to him.
Anywhere else, he'd be put in chayyim. You know, but Chabad doesn't bother him. So, but like in a positive level, like a Baruch Hashem, at least he's a.
Right. You say Chabad generally do that?
No, none of them. Because of that, they wake up late, so they put Gavin Shabbos in
the room. We had a conversation about this. Right?
The thing is, Chabad is Gavin Shachris, and we're Gavin Mincha, so it gets confused.
Okay, so that gets out of the issue for the opinion of the Chachamim. The Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, lo kasha. That's also not a kasha. Halsam over there by Shema, who debin in Kavana. He requires, you need proper kavana when you're saying Shema. V'onan sadi, and we're going to testify, we know that the lo matzi kavana. So we know for sure this guy will not have kavana. His mind is elsewhere. So it's a mechzik yura, so that's going to be considered yura. Because even though everyone else is doing their reciting Shema together, we know this particular individual does not have the proper kavana. And he says he's better than everybody else. Aval hacha here, lo mechzik yura, doesn't appear like yura. Because amri malacha hi delesle. Since he has no work to do. That's why he's sitting around doing nothing. He happens to have no business. It's a slow day today. Pokhazi, go out and see. Kama balani, kibishuka. How many people are just sitting around the shuk, the corners of the marketplace, doing absolutely nothing? This guy's no different. So it's a person. People won't claim he's being Euro. He's being considering himself a Talmid Chacham. So therefore, it's not a problem. This discussion, by the way, comes up a number of places in Shas. This discussion of Euro, this almost exact Shakli Vitaria. And his machlokas had a paskin in terms of Kriyat Shema. Machlokas, we showed him how to be paskin. Can a chasen, the first night of getting married, can he or should he say Shema or should he not say Shema? To machlokas, we showed him. Bizman hazeh, we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch says a person should recite Kriyat Shema, even b'layla rishon. Says the Mishnah, Chacham Omrim, B'Yehuda hayu osim malacha barvi pesachim ad chatzos. In the area of Yehuda, they would do malacha on Erev Pesach up until chatzos. Ubegaliel, a different place of Eretz Israel, lo hayosin kolikr, they wouldn't do any malacha at all. Halayla, when it comes to the night of the Yudal, the night before Erev Pesach, Beishame Osun, Beishil Matirin Adon Etzachama. Beishame says, even the nighttime, one's not allowed to do work. That was the minog. And Beishil says, no, you're allowed to do work up until Netzachama. Once the sun rises, then you have to stop doing work. The Pasha says, this machlokis Laila or Netzachama, the machlokis whether Mlocha exists even at night, is only going within the opinion. Actually, let's wait a moment on that. Let's wait, sorry. Says the Gemara, Meikara. The beginning of the Mishnah, Tanam and Haga, it talks about there's a minhag. In Yehuda, they're noeg this way. In Gala, they're noeg this way. Ulvasof, however, at the end of the Mishnah, Tana Isur, it says, Beishame Osrim. A minhag is very different than an Isur. Minhag means that was the custom. Isur means it's Osir to do that. It's
minhag
not dependent on
custom. Minhag avotenu
be'adenu.
Exactly. So it's minhag is halacha.
You're right, it's a good point. It's accepted upon as a halacha.
I'm sorry, I still don't get the Mishnah. What is it, which Laila is it talking about?
The Leil Yudalad.
Erev Pesach.
But we're saying that you can go to Chatzos.
You can go Chatzos. According, so the Gemara is going to discuss exactly who
this is referring to before B'dikas Chametz, or the whole night you're allowed to do, and then from the Netzachami you're allowed to. Is that what it's saying? I don't understand the whole thing.
No, so we have to read the Gemara thing to clarify, but Pashas is, it's referring to the Galil where they went to Melacha
the
whole day. So would that halacha extend itself even to the nighttime? Right.
Okay.
So the Gemara says again, Mikara Tana Minhaga. It's a good point, though. But originally it said Minhag. Then Levasov Tana Isir. Then it says an Isir. Even though Minhag Avesinim Biodenu is accepted upon ourselves, that's a real Minhag, it's strong, it's more of a Chova, there still is a difference between a Minhag, established Chova, and an Isir.
Rashi says Isir is broader, it's Mashma B'chol Makom, whereas Minhag is something which is applicable to a specific.
Ah, so that's one afkmin already, right?
Oh, so that applies because then according to if it's Isser, then it wouldn't be the Galil, it'll be just all over the place. That's
exactly
that's
right.
The kasha.
Right. Uh-huh. When saying it's Usser, it's for everybody. I don't care where you live. There's an Isser across the board, not to do Melacha.
So he must be going on the Reisha also, not only on the Seifa. That's why
he's going on the Reisha. What do you mean?
He's not going on the Galil. Once he says
Beishim,
then he has
sounds
to go
like across
on
the board.
Right, he kind of go on the Galil only.
But when it comes to the Minhag, the beginning, when the Mishnah used the Lashon of Mishnah, Minhag, it depends what your Minhag is. Where
it
do you live?
Gone on the place,
this city
right.
Might have a Minhag to do Melacha, this city might have a Minhag not to do Melacha. But Beishim says Osun means across the board, everywhere. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Kasha, Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Two different Tanaim, the Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda said, "B'Yehuda, hayu osin melacha bari psachim ad chatos, u'begalil einan osin kolikar."
Yehuda
says, "Yeah." So Rabbi Yehuda says, "In this place in Yehuda, they would work up until noon, and in the Galil, they would not work at all during the daytime." That's the opinion of Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir responds, "Ma raya Yehuda v'Galil akan? What do you bring Yehuda and Galil to here? El makum shenagu lasas melacha osin." Makum Shinagu Shilolasos Einosin. Nothing to do. You can't just establish a minhag in Yehuda and then establish the minhag in Galil. Nothing to do with that. It all depends on each particular city, not an area, not a whole section of Eretz Yisrael. Each city had their own particular minhag. So the Gemara understands now. Midukama Rabbi Meir Minhaga. The fact that Rabbi Meir says it's all tali in a minhag. Michlal the Rabbi Yehuda Isur Kama. Rabbi Yehuda says it must be an Isur. So Rabbi Yehuda said not an Isur every single place in the world. But Yehuda, they establish as an Isser, rather the other way around. In the Galil, they establish as an Isser every single place in the Galil to do Melacha, Erev Pesach. And Yehuda, there is no Isser. But it wasn't quite a minhag. Where Meir held, no, each particular city, I don't care where it was located, each particular city had either minhag to do Melacha or minhag not to do Melacha. Okay. So now in this, there's a machlokes. Beishame Beis Hillel, that machlok is whether or not it applies at nighttime. So Pashas is, Beishame Beis Hillel are only arguing within the opinion of if there's a real Isser to do Melach Erev Pesach, then there's machlok is, does that Isser carry over even to the night? However, some Yishom say, no, even the machlok is nighttime, even goes within the opinion that it's based on a minhag. Meaning, if you had the minhag to do malach, to not to do malach Erev Pesach, there still is a machlokes Beishame Beis Hillel whether that minhag would carry to the night before or not. So that's a machlokes Rishon, how to understand Beishame and Beis Hillel.
But for sure, if you're allowed, there is no machlokes if you're allowed to do to chatzos.
If you're allowed to, exactly. If you're allowed to, okay. Certainly you're allowed to do it at nighttime. Right. It's all within the opinion of the Isser Malacha. Right. Tumara says, "V'savar b'Yehuda, arba'as are mutter b'asiyas malacha." Does b'Yehuda really think that it's mutter to do malacha on Erev Pesach? V'hatanya. Because Rabbi Yehuda held, Rashi points out, Rabbi Yehuda held with within the opinion of the Bnei Yehuda, the people who lived in Yehuda, it was mutter. The Isser only existed for the Bnei Galib. Bnei Yehuda was mutter. So does Rabbi Yehuda really think it's mutter to do malacha on Erev Pesach? V'hatani, the Braisa teaches us. The Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he would say, HaMenachesh, Menachesh, Machlokas, what exactly Menachesh is. Pashas is, Rashi says in Moed Katan, Menachesh means to rip bad pieces of grass, weeds, out of the ground to help the better ones grow.
Menachesh.
Menachesh, not Menachesh, Menachesh. So when you take out, we pull out the bad weeds, so then you're helping the good weeds, the good trees and plants grow.
They're using it today, this one.
What?
They're using this one today, even.
Yeah, exactly. The Rambam says it's different. You're not pulling the bad weeds out. You're just digging around it. Digging around some of the dirt, softens the dirt. That helps the growth of it. So this malacha, this act of menakesh, b'shlosh asar, you could do it on the 13th of Nisan. V'nekra biyado, and let's say you tear up the entire piece, whatever you were growing, you ripped it up, the whole shorish, the roots were in your hand, and you want to put it back in the ground. You took a plant, for some reason you ripped up the plant. You want to put it back in, so v'nekra biyado, shosla b'makom hatit, you could put it back in this type of mud. V'ein shosla b'makom ha-garvard, but you can't put it back in the garvard. What's the difference of these types of grounds? So Rashi says, shosla b'makom hatit, shetimahir likolet kodem ha-omer. When you put it in the tit, for some reason it helps it grow faster and to take root before the carbon omer. Sheha omer matias and nishrashin. So the omer, right. We had everything was chadash. The new grains you cannot eat. There's an isser chadash the Torah tells us. The carbon omer comes along as matir the chadash. The chadash now becomes yashin, becomes old once the carbon omer comes. Now once, yashin is allowed to be eaten. So then the issue is only if something that was taken root before the Omer was brought. The Omer is brought the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, the first day, the second day of Pesach, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed. When the carbon Omer is brought, it's matir any grains that already have taken root. So if you put in the tit on the 13th of Nisan,
when they bring the Omer,
and 16th of Nisan.
So you don't deserve Pesach,
right?
16.
The 15th is Pesach itself. And the 16th they'd bring it in the morning, the carbon Omer.
At the time, there was not 2 days Pesach.
No. In there, Beis HaMikdash, always one day.
Oh, Beis HaMikdash.
Right. So this would help quicken the rooting of this plant in the ground. And the carbon omer would be allowed to, would then be matir. But if you put in Hagarid, which Rashi says is Yavish, a very dry piece of land, Shenu Mimahir Liklot, it's not going to take root before the omer, so that shouldn't be done. So the Gemara makes a diak now. Bishlosh asar in, bar basar lo. On the 13th, you're allowed to do this. You could replant it on the 13th, so it takes root. But you can't do it on the 14th. Sounds like Rabbi Yehuda thinks the 14th is also to do malacha. So maybe you're telling me you can't do it on the 14th because, practically speaking, it's not going to take root before the carbon omer. The Gemara says that's not true. It will take root before the carbon omer. How do we know this? Michti, let's analyze this for a moment. Shemina leiler Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda tells us the Amar. Kol harkava. Harkava is crossbreeding. It's any crossbreeding, you take one leaf from another leaf, you plant them. I don't know exactly how it's done. But she'eno koletes, the shlosh yavim, the shuv eno koletes. If it doesn't take root, if the two plants don't crossbreed with each other properly, it takes 3 days. If they haven't connected in 3 days, it's never going to connect at all. You ask 3 days to be koletes, that's when it comes to harkava, crossbreeding. And then certainly they point out when it comes to just regularly planting, just planting something in the ground, you have 3 days to plant. If it doesn't plant after three, take root after 3 days, it's not going to take root. So you need 3 days.
At all? At all?
I know, that's Rabbi Huda's opinion. I don't know much about agriculture, but that's what Rabbi Huda holds. So, the isak adaitach are ba'asar mutter ba'asiyas malacha, if you thought the 14th you can do malacha. So now, lamali shlosh asar, why do you have to already plant them from the 13th of Nisan? V'ha'ika arba'isa, you have the 14th, you plant in the 14th, that's day one. The chamesar, the 15th, that's day two. Umiksa shisar in the beginning of the morning of the 16th, before they bring the carbon omer, that's day three. That gives you 3 days. Again, you plant it on the 14th. 14th is day one. 15th is day two. 16th is day three. Later on in the 16th, you're going to bring the carbon omer. You have 3 days for it to take root. So it should be matir. So miksa shisar. So therefore we see, so why does Rabbi Huda make you plant it on the 13th, not the 14th? It must be that he thinks it's asa to do malacha on the 14th of Nisan. Because practically speaking, the 14th of Nisan, the roots will take root before the carbon omer. Rava says, "Big galil shana." No, he's talking about the galil. And the galil, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bnei galil, it's asher to do malacha on the 14th." That's what he's referring to. Eina chanami, the Bnei Yehuda, where there was no isher malacha, you could plant on the 14th. V'ha'ika laila. So what about the nighttime? So even in the Galil, the daytime you couldn't do melacha. So plant it at nighttime, the leil yudalad. Plant it leil yudalad, and you get the 3 days in. Why does he make you do it on the 13th, the day beforehand? Do it leil yudalad. Rav Sheshes k'bei shamai, because he holds like bei shamai, who asered even the nighttime. So the nighttime's also for the Bnei Galil, that's why Rabbi Yehuda suggested to do it on the 13th of Pesach. But again, according to Bnei Yehuda, there's no problem planting on the 14th. No, we don't pass like Beis Shammai ever. We've always passing like Beis Hillel. Even within the opinion of Beis Hillel, who permits melacha at nighttime, people don't do. You're not going to go to the farm at nighttime. You can't see anything. So practically speaking, it doesn't make any sense. Theoretically, one can, if they had a big flashlight, a big spotlight, they can go to the field and plant this the nighttime of the 14th, even Bnei Galil. But people don't do that, so that's why Rabbi Huda suggested do it during the daytime of the 13th. Ravina comes along and says, Amar li olam b'Yehuda. No, really, we're talking about Yehuda. So isn't Yehuda, aren't you allowed to do malacha on the 14th according to Yehuda? Why did Yehuda tell you to go to the 13th? Ubashrasha, when it comes to taking root of the ground, the plant's taking root, chad mixes hayom kukula arminan, tre mixes hayom kukula lo arminan. We say, you can only apply the din of mixes hayom kukula. Part of the day, we view it as if the entire day passed. We can only use one of them, not two of them.
Right, because he only has 48 hours.
Exactly. When you do the math, only 48. So you have the 15th, you planted something, sorry, you planted on the 14th. You planted on the 14th, let's say a couple hours into the 14th. That's only mixes hayom.
Right.
You have the whole 15th.
I was thinking that before. He only really has 48 hours.
Right. So then do the math, you can, it doesn't work out.
3 days.
Right.
Okay. Does this have application in other areas of halacha?
It does, yeah. It relates to, there's a big... I think it comes to Shiv Nakim it relates to, if I remember correctly. There's a Rashi here, I don't remember the details. There's a Rashi here, pointed out here, which relates to the Salacha, mixes Yom Kippula, and I think it relates to Shiv Nakim. I can't remember what it is, though.
We also say by cutting nails on Thursday, if you cut your nails on Thursday afternoon, we advise not to do it because it's going to grow on Shabbos. It grows on the third day.
But I think that's only from Kavod, because you're supposed to cut your toenails on Thursday. It's not an Isser of growing. It's more like it's not Kavod for Shabbos that you're doing it. I think
he's right. I think it is. They said both of them are true. You have to have it Kavod Shabbos, but also Dafka not on the Thursday, because then it, 3 days later, we'll start growing. They point this out. It's brought down.
Yeah, but so why are you allowed to cut your toenails? Why are you supposed to cut your toenails on Thursday?
Because Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says you can't cut them both on the same day. So the problem becomes if you're going to cut them, Wednesday, then you're going to be cutting both of them Wednesday. So
right.
Is that what it is?
Cutting nails.
I thought that if you had a choice, you're supposed to do it Thursday.
So you do your fingernails Wednesday and then your toenails Thursday.
Why?
You can't do them both Thursday.
But I'm trying to say, I thought that the toenails, it's not that. I thought that if you do it one day, the best day to do it is Thursday. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I learned it a very long time ago.
Why is it a problem for your nails to grow on Shabbos?
For it to grow on Shabbos? I mean, it's a strange thing, but it's kind of like an indirect way of causing it to grow on Shabbos.
I see, okay.
I think there's a primitive into that.
I'm sure
it's not technicality.
It has to be.
Yeah, I have the book. I read it.
So I was just wondering if you have a simple concept there. It makes us seem cool on both
sides.
When
you say Shiva Nakim on everything or on a specific case of Shiva Nakim?
I think when it comes to the two cases of Azav and Azav, the two cases we have Shiva Nakim by at least Deraisa
right.
And Nida Bisman Hazeh.
Right.
But I'm looking in the back, he doesn't discuss this, but I do recall there being something related to Mr. Ziyom from this Rashi here. About
is my nail coming scheduled this week?
Friday is the best. No, or Wednesday is the best. I think Friday is the best.
You're not supposed to
cut both of them the same day? No. And I think the best day is Thursday, the toenails, and Friday, the end. And then there's an order, the specific order. On
right, I knew that.
Just get a manicure pedicure one time.
That would defeat getting both the same day.
$15, really.
Okay. New Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ko Melacha, Shehischa Ba Kodim La'ar Basar, Gomer Ba'al Basar. Any Melacha.
You have to edit this one there.
It's fine. Someone came up to me on Shabbos and said, I see a lot of background noise. I said, We like your participation.
Why did you change the machine? Why did you change the machine?
This is so much easier. I could, through the app, Chanan showed me, you could get right onto the Google Drive and it goes right to Y Torah. Very convenient. Have also less less memory. Yeah, half the memory. My other one was so much, 100-something megabytes per share.
High tech, you know?
That's it.
Big stuff. Big stuff.
Okay, so the Mishnah says, right, Meir Omer, Kol Melacha Shehischa Ba Kodem Lar Basar, Gomer Bar Basar. Any Melacha that began before the 14th, you can complete on the 14th. Aval Lo Yaschi Ba B'Tchila Bar Basar. But you cannot begin a Melacha for the first time on the 14th. Apa Pi Sheyachol Gomro, even though you can finish it. It's a short Melacha. I could start on the 14th and I could finish on the 14th. That's not allowed. Only something that already begun before the 14th, you can complete the Melacha on Erev Pesach. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Chacham Omrim Gimel Umanios Osim Lacha Bar Pesachim. There are three trades that they can be done on Erev Pesach ad Chatos up until noon. Ve'eluhen Hachayotim the tailors, Vasaparim the barbers, Vakobsin the ones washing clothing. Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda Omer Afratzonim even the leather the strap makers. Ashkapin I have on the Rashi.
Made black in the leather.
They made black in it. Yeah.
Shoemakers.
Shoemakers, yeah?
Yeah, shoemakers.
Okay. So shoemakers. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Shoemakers. Good thing we know someone knows Hebrew here.
No, it says in Nazgul, so I'm learning.
I know Hebrew very well.
What's the word in Irish girl? What does it say?
Shoemaker.
Sandlarin. Sandal. Sandlar. It's a
shoemaker. Yeah, okay.
Okay. So shoemakers also can those. That's the fourth melacha that's permitted according to this opinion of the Chachamim. The Gemara says ibayil. Let's try to understand what's this Mishnah. How do we understand this Mishnah? The tzar hamoed tnan is it talking about things that are actually needed for the yomtiv? Aval shelo the tzar hamoed. If it's not needed for the yomtiv, just stam doing melacha, I feel migimar namilo. You can't even finish it. A melacha I already have begun before Erev Pesach. Now I want to finish it Erev Pesach. So we only permit you to finish those malachas that are needed for the moed, but things that are not needed is not permitted. Oh, Dilma Shalot Tzor HaMoed Tanan. Really, the Mishnah is talking about things that are not needed for the moed. And you're allowed to do complete malachas that are not needed for the moed. And you could be medayik aval letzorch, for if it's needed for the moed, then aschuli maschin. You can even begin a malacha on Erev Pesach to finish it Erev Pesach. Oh, Dilma, yet a third approach is Dilma Bein Letzorch HaMoed Bein Shalot Tzorch. Migmar in aschilo. We don't mechalik whether it's needed for the moed, not needed for the moed. Across the board, you can only complete a melacha, you cannot begin a melacha. So three different approaches how to read the Mishnah, the opinion of Rabbi Meir.
It's two, no?
Three, no?
One is that you what if you need it for the moed, yes, and if you don't, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, no?
One is if you don't need it for the moed. You can only complete it, but if you need it for the moed, you can even start it. And the third approach is, it's needed. It's talking about a case letzarech and shelo letzarech.
Isn't the second one the same as the first one, just like an explanation? No.
No.
Again.
Okay. Then we got read through again. Ibaylu letzarech hamoed. The Mishnah is talking about when it's needed for the moed tanan. Aval shelo letzarech hamoed afilu migmar nami lo. When it's not needed for the moed, you cannot do anything.
Right.
Oh, Dilma Shalol Tzarech HaMoed Tanan. The Mishnah is talking about when you don't need it for the Moed. Aval Tzarech Aschul Maschilin. But if it's needed for the Moed, you're even allowed to begin a Melacha.
Aha, okay.
The first approach said you're only allowed to.
And the third one is Bein Tzarech.
Bein Tzarech HaMoed, Bein Shalol Tzarech HaMoed, Migmar In Aschulilo. You can only complete a Melacha. I don't care what the purpose is, but you can only complete it, but you can't begin.
Right, it's irrelevant. Okay.
So Toshma, they bring a Beraya as follows. Aval Lo Yaschil Betchilo Bar Ba'asar Afilu Tzil Tzokatam. You cannot begin a melacha, even a small tziltel, a small little bendle, a small little string, afilu shavcha ketana, even a small something that goes in the head. So even these things which take just a few moments to do, even that you cannot do Erev Pesach. So my afilu, what is my afilu? Lav afilu hani l'tzarech hamoed migmar in asfilu. Even though these things are perhaps needed for the moed, you can only complete the process, but you cannot begin the process. This is not to conclude that when it comes to something not needed for the moed, you cannot even begin, you can't even complete the melacha. Says Gemara, lo, not sure. The way you read the Brayis is as follows: the olam d'shalol tzarach migmar nami gamrin. Really, even something that is not needed for the moed, you can complete that melacha on Erev Pesach. Umay afilu. How do we interpret the word afilu? Afilu hani nami d'zutra ninu. Even though these things are so small and so easy to do. The second you start it is basically the way you finish it. The melacha takes almost just a few seconds, so it's all schala gemira, all in one shot. Maybe there should be a certain heter for these small items to make on Erev Pesach. Kamashmala, no. Since you're beginning the melacha on these things, even though you're quickly going to finish them, that's not going to be allowed. So therefore, there's no raya from this brisa how to read the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Toshma, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol melacha shehila tzarach moed. Anything that is for the purpose of the moed, gomra bar basar, you can complete on the 14th. Amosai, when is this true? Bizman shehischa ba kodem ar basar, only when you've begun the melacha before Pesach. Avalo hischa ba kodem ar basar, lo yaschi ba bar basar. But if you have not begun already before the 14th, you cannot begin on the 14th. Even though you might make something really small and really quick, if you didn't start beforehand, you cannot do it now. So this brisa says, it's referring to the only heter to complete melacha is something for the purpose of the moed. However, the implication is low. You can't do something that has nothing to do with the moed. The wife says, no. Even something that's not needed for the moed, you can even complete on Erev Pesach. The Chiddush is to teach me that you might think, for Tzarach HaMoed, I might be able to even begin the Melacha on Erev Pesach. Kamash Malam, the only heter is to complete a Melacha, never to begin a Melacha, even if it's for the purpose of the moed. So not a raya from there either.
But we did eliminate one of the three possibilities.
It's not talking about both Tzarach and Tzarach, exactly.
No.
Isn't that?
We eliminated the one that you would be able to start even on...
Or for the Tzarach HaMoed. Very good, yeah, it's true.
Right.
How is that the third one?
Because the Mishnah says when it comes to Tzarach HaMoed, only thing that's allowed to be done is being Gomer. You can only finish...
Complete,
exactly.
One.
So we knocked out, you can never begin a Melacha even for Tzarach HaMoed. The only question is now, can you also complete a melacha of Shalom Tzarech, or you cannot complete a melacha of Shalom Tzarech?
So starting in your David, Letzorech HaMoed is not allowed.
Exactly, right. Very good.
Right. Which basically, you're not allowed to start anything.
Yeah.
Says the Gemara, brings another ayah. Toshma, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol melacha shehila Tzarech HaMoed, Gomra ba'arba asar, v'she'enu Tzarech HaMoed, asar. You can't do it if it's not for the purpose of the Moed. The osim lacha bar psachim ad chatzos b'makum shenagu. So, and you could do melacha up until noon, the places that have such a minhag. Makum shenagu in lo nagu lo. So only if you have such a minhag. If you don't have a minhag, you can't. V'shmamina l'tzarach hamoed in shlo l'tzarach hamoed lo. Shmamina. So we see here clearly in this statement that the only heter is when it's l'tzarach hamoed. But explicitly, we have Rabbi Meir's opinion here. She'ein l'tzarach hamoed. If it's not for the purpose of the moed, you cannot do melacha. Shmamina. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir.
So basically, whenever you say that you're allowed to chatzos, chatzos is only to do things that you need for the moed, according to this.
According to Rabbi Meir, at least. Right? According to Rabbi Meir. According to the Chachamim, he only permits three of the three trades, and then perhaps even a fourth trade. Lemaisa, I think the way we paskin, though, is that we compare Erev Pesach to Chol HaMoed. Anything, any halachas that we allowed, any halacha permitted on Chol HaMoed, the same halachas would apply to Erev Pesach. Anything not allowed would not be allowed either.
But we do make a difference between before Chatzos or after Chatzos.
We do make a difference between, right, I said before Chatzos.
Before Chatzos would be like Chol HaMoed.
I think so, right.
And after Chatzos is what? Is almost, it's not Yontif Yontif.
It's not Yontif Yontif, but it's much more limited.
More,
I don't know exactly which Melacha is, but.
First Rashi is a little confusing.
First Rashi
is going back on the last line of prior Daf. We said Rabbi Meir says, Kol Melacha Tzarach HaMoed, you be Gomer Bar Basar.
I'm sorry, I'm out. For which Rashi are you at?
First Rashi on Ham and Pace.
The first one there, okay.
Gomer
Bar Basar. Afil B'Makum Shalonagu Lasos Melacha.
Rashi at that point seems to explain the line of Rabbi Meir that we brought at the bottom of the last Amud, going on to the Summit, that you could do Melacha Tzarach HaMoed, you could finish it on the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a Makum Shalonagu or Makum Shalonagu, the Makum Shalonagu.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lamaskana, that's not how we come out. We come out that it's only a makom she nagulasas malacha where you could be gomer for something you started with Tzarach HaMoed.
Right. That first Rashi is going in the previous Tashma. This one's going to conclude. I'm not sure why Rashi had to do that.
Rashi steered us in the wrong direction almost.
Right.
At that point, it can be understood that way. But
why did he have to do that? Right.
Yeah, and it's both in Rabbi Meir.
Yeah,
it's a throwaway marriage sheet. Right.
That just throws in another issue in terms of how you align this, the Makom Shenagu stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Says the Gemara, Chacham Omrim, Shalosh Umanios. There were three different trades that were permitted on Erev Pesach. Tana, Hachayotim, Shekein, Hediot, Tofer, Kedarka, Bechol HaShalnoi. Because we find that a tailor could sew things the regular way, or not a tailor, but a Hediot, a regular person, can sew Kedarka the way he's able to, not in a professional way, but his own Babatish way of sewing. He could do it in Chalmoid. So since Chalmoid is permitted for Hediot, we permitted a professional to do it on Erev Pesach. Hasaparin Vakovsim, so why that? Why do we permit barbers and launderers? Shekein habab mi bidin asayam vayotsu mi beis hasurim. Somebody who comes back from overseas on Chol Moed, or he gets let out of jail on Chol Moed, misaprim mechapsim b'chol shemoed. We permit those. So since we find a particular heter when it comes to Chol Moed, we certainly, which is much more the Erev Pesach, which is much more lenient, we could certainly make an exception on Erev Pesach for those things. Yosi bar Yehuda Omer Af Haratzonim, even the shoemakers Shekein Olir Golim Misaknin Min Aleihem Bechol Shemoy, because the people doing Alila Regel, they can the special hetter to fix their shoes to make it all the way to Yerushalayim. So once we have that, then we permit it even on Erev Pesach, which is less stringent than that of Chol Moed. Now, b'vaykemifkli, what are they arguing about in regards to the shoemakers? Mar Saver Lemedim Tchilas Mlacha B'Sof Mlacha, Umar Saver Ein Lemedim Tchilas Mlacha B'Sof Mlacha. So let's see, Rashi explains here. This is four lines down from the top. Tchilas Mlacha, Ratzonim She'osim Menalei Nechadashim, Misof Mlacha, Tik Menalam. So when it came to the Alila Regel, we permitted them to fix already made shoes, not make brand new shoes. They had shoes that they broke along the way, they had to fix them. That was permitted. But to take that to the next level and to permit even brand new shoes, that the Tanakhama was not willing to do. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda was willing to do that. That's the Machlokas. Can you learn fixing shoes? You derive from fixing shoes to making new shoes. That's a discussion. There's a Tosos here. Do you have time for Tosos? We have time for Tosos. Tosos says on the top, Ole regalim misaknin min aleihem. They would fix their shoes, the alila regel. Mihacha mashma, up here. Yes. So Tosos, yeah. Tosos says, Mihacha mashma behedya. From here we see explicitly, the also lisakin minalin bechalamoid. You cannot fix shoes in chalamoid. The lo hetiru ella laoli regalim. Only people going to alila regal. There's a special heter for fixing shoes. Dafka. Vain lomar the davar avidhu. Don't say, oh, it's something that broke. It's something that it's going to be a loss. Shema yikaru yoser. They're going to get even worse. The hayachal liknos chalashim. What do you mean? So don't fix them and just buy new ones. Buying new shoes is permitted. Fixing shoes is not permitted. Okay, that's enough for Tosfos. Says the new Mishnah now. Moshivin shovchin l'tanagolim b'yadalad. You could place these shovchin, these chicken coops on yadalad, which Rashi tells us the purpose was, Moshivin shovchin kishinosin beitzim tachas tanagolas l'ischamim l'gadal afrochim. When you place the eggs to warm up, to become, to develop. Kari Moshivin shovchin. They call that reference. Moshivin shovchin, you place the, you set up, you establish these nests for the chickens to sit in. That can be done on yadalad. Vitarnagolas shabarcho, and a chicken that runs away, machzirno, so you can bring them back, limkoma, bring it back to the nest. Vim mesa, if the tarnagolas dies, moshivin acheres tachte, you could get another tarnagolas to sit on top of these eggs. Now the Mishnah says, gorfin mitachas ragli behem of yudal, you could scrape away, rake away any of the excrement from the animals. However, this is all Erev Pesach. When it comes to Chol Moed, you can just push it off to the side. You can't do a full cleaning, but just push it off to the side. Malichin Kalim, you could bring Kalim. Umevin mibeis ha'uman, afa pish enam letzar chamod. You could bring Kalim and bring him from the place that they're being fixed. Even though you don't need them for the Moed, one still is allowed to do that. The Gemara is going to discuss all these different dinim. So first, the Gemara says, "Hashta osivim osvinon." Once the Mishnah establishes, you can set up. You, for the first time, establish these shofrim. So certainly, hudurim ibari. Certainly, you could bring back a chicken that ran away. Setting it up seems more of a mlacha than returning the chicken back. So what's the chiddush here? Why does it say second? You could, if you could establish one, you could return them back. Amar bai seifa asan lechalamoid. The seifa is talking about chalamoid, meaning Erev Pesach, you can't even establish the shofrim. When it comes to Chol Moed, you can't set one up, but you can bring back a tarnagolas that may have ran away. Amar Rav Huna, qualifies this halacha. Lo shanu ela toch shlosha limarda. The kati lo parach tzimra mina. This is only true within the 3 days of when the chicken ran away, because as long as an egg that was left out 3 days without being sat on, then it ruined the potential to become to develop. If within 3 days, though, the chicken ran away and you bring it back within 3 days, so then you could still salvage this egg. So as long as it was less than 3 days that the chicken ran away, you can return the chicken. And secondly, if the acher shlosha li shivasa, the pasta le beya legamre. It has to be after 3 days of sitting. So Rashi says this one, l'acher shlosha li shivasa, shekvar yoshra len shlosha yomim, kodum sh'omda melein. Only if the chicken already sat on it for 3 days before it ran away. The kvar nishan habetim, then the egg started developing. Vimlo tachzer harehin uvdin. If you don't return the chicken, it's going to go to loss. So again, you need two things. For you to, we don't just allow you to bring the chicken back just for any reason you want. It has to be, there's a certain hefsed that's going to happen. So when do you know, how do you know there's going to be a hefsed? So first of all, the chicken has to have sat there for 3 days the first time. It sat there for 3 days, now the eggs begin to develop. And also it has to be within 3 days that the chicken ran away. But if the chicken had not sat on the egg for 3 days, only a day or two, the egg didn't develop enough, so let the egg sit out, and in a week later, you could have another chicken sit in it, it won't go get lost. Also, it can't be 3 days from when it ran away. So those are the stipulations set forward by Rav Huna. Aval, however, the Gemara says, La'acha shlosha lamarda. Let's say it had been 3 days since the chicken ran away, you finally realize the tarnagolas ran away, so nothing you can do about it anymore, because the parachlat simra mine, the simra, the potential for it to become a chick, has been lost. You can't do anything about it anymore. And mitoch shlosha l'shivasa, and if it ran away within 3 days, it's only been sitting on the egg for 2 days, the kati lo pseda be'a legamri lo mahadrinam. There won't be such a loss of the egg, so therefore, you don't have to, you're not allowed to bring the chicken back. Rebbe Ami o Amar afil toch shlosha l'shivasa mahadrinam. Even within 3 days, even though the chicken only sat there for 2 days, you are still allowed to bring the chicken back. So, b'maykum, mythically, what are they arguing about? So, the halacha is, Rashi tells us that when you sit on the egg for like 2 days, so it changes a little bit, the egg. And, let's see, where is that Rashi? Afilu toch shlosha l'shivasa. Hovid nishtana ksas, it changes a little bit. Vein ruin lechol adam, el lemisha daita yafa, veino istanis mehadrinam. So the egg only changes a little bit. So I have these eggs. You can either have the eggs to turn into a chick or use the eggs to make eggs. So if it sat on the chicken sat on the egg for a day or two, so and then it left, you could still use it for eggs to be eaten, but it's going to be a little bit different. The texture, something about it is going to be slightly different because it developed a little bit. So you'll have eggs, but they're a little bit different looking. So only an istanis will not touch these eggs. He only wants regular pure eggs. But if it had been sat on for 1 or 2 days, something about it would be different. He won't want to touch it. But a regular person who's not such an istanis is willing to eat such eggs, even though it changed slightly. So this is the machlokas.
Is this Mishnah is Torah Misinai?
Sure.
That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe.
Well, this is a much larger discussion. Maybe we can have a shiur about this sometime. But no, there's a machlokas. How much was Moshe Rabbeinu? How much was he told?
Well, that's, you know, the Tanaim just figured from a basic line, and then they gave examples, and these are the examples.
So it says it's a huge machlokas. So just a rega achas. It's a ritva that writes in Ervin that every single machlokas that you're going to ever mention, every single point,
every single case,
Moshe Rabbeinu was taught everything in 40 days. Everything. The Yamsha Shlomo Sakdama to Sefer Yamsha Rev Shlomo Kluger, different Yamsha Shlomo, I forget his name now. Yamsha Shlomo writes in his Sakdama to Sefer that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave, when we have all the lightning and the thunder that came and they saw the thunder, all those are different avenues of Torah to be seen. And not every single person got tapped into each of these pipelines. But Kadosh Baruch Hu gave everything out there. But each person had their own perspective of seeing things. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't necessarily given every single thing. He was given, as you said, the Yesodos, the different klalim, how to darshan the Torah. We have that Moshe Rabbeinu sat in the back of Rabbi Kiva's classroom.
Right,
he didn't know what was going on. So obviously Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know everything. He was given the basic Yesodos, and we have these Yesodos, how to build upon them. So that's the big machlokas, the two different extremes. Either everything, or just the Yesodos. But okay, so says the Gemara now. B'maykamifkli, what's a machlokas, whether or not if the chicken sat in the egg for 2 days or not, whether you're allowed to bring the chicken back or not? B'maykamifkli, mar savar lehefsid meruba chashashu lehefsid muat lo chashashu. We're only concerned with a larger hefsid. If he sits on the egg and only for 2 days, as long as somebody's going to still eat it, even though an istanis won't, that's only hefsid muat. Because you have a small population, who's going to buy it? It's a minor hefsid that they're not concerned with. However, Marsavar, Rav Rebbe Biami was concerned, even afilu lehefsim mu'at nami chashashu. Even for that small mu'at, he was concerned with such a loss. So he says, even though it's been only sat on for 2 days, you could still bring back the chicken to complete the development of the egg. Let's try to finish up to the mission at least. We're running out of time. Gorfin matachas, you can scrape the excrement from underneath the animals.
7:05 today.
Oh, okay. Thanks for reminding. I always keep forgetting that. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Hazevel shebechatzer, the zevel that's in the chatzer, misalkin osel tzad, and you can push it off to the side. Sheberefetz, the shebechatzer, they're found in the cattle houses and the courtyards. Motzin osel ashba. You don't have to push them to the side. You're actually allowed to pick them up and remove them to outside. Hagufakasha. This is an internal steer. Amris zevel shebechatzer, misalkin osel tzad. First you said you should push off the chatzer to the sides. Then Vahadar says, Tani Shibirefes Shibachatzer, Motzino Salahashbro. So we have a chatzer, one hand, and you say a chatzer, push it to the side. Then we say a chatzer again, you could remove it completely to the garbage. Amar Bai Lokasher, Kan be Yudalad, Kan be Chol Shel Moed. When it comes to Yudalad, we keep saying Yudalad is a little bit more lenient than that of Chol Moed. Now in Erev Pesach, Yudalad Nisan, one can completely remove the Zevel from the chatzer.
Linen is light.
Yeah, Kal, right. So when it comes to Chol HaMoed, however, since we're more machmir, so Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to push it off to the sides, but you cannot remove it to the ashba. Amar Rava comes and argues, Hav Hav B'Chol HaShemoed. Both of them are talking about Chol HaShemoed. V'Hachi Kamar, Im Nase Chatzer Kirefes Motzin Oso LaAshba. If the Chatzer became like a refes, then you can remove everything to the garbage. If it's just not like a refes, then you cannot remove it to the garbage. So says Rashi, what does it mean if the Chatzer becomes a refes? Im Nase Chatzer Kirefes Shenis Kalkala Kula. Everything becomes so dirty and disgusting, the Chatzer, Vein Makum Lasalik Letzad, and there's no place to push everything off to the side, then Motzin Oso LaAshba. But if the Chatzer is not so disgusting, not so dirty, then you can push it off to the side. Only if it begins to build up, then there's a special heter, even a Chol HaMoed, to remove the zevel to the ashba. Says the Gemara, Molichin. Yes,
I know we're in a rush, but
no,
I don't understand from the lesson of the Mishnah that there is that it's like in the middle of the phrase it goes from Erev Yom to Erev Pesach to Chol HaMoed. It is just like no.
Well, there is, because the Mishnah had that one line.
It's just clear. Moshimin Shovchim le tarnegolim yudale ve tarnegolim shevar machzirim otalim kama. It's all one phrase. How could in one phrase talk about two separate cases?
No, because the next case is v'im mesa in the Mishnah mesa moshimin acharis tachteh. Fine.
No, right. But they said that you're allowed to moshimim shebetachanan yudale. That's
right. The difference.
So
I guess the fact that the next part of the Mishnah distinguishes explicitly between Moed and Erev Pesach, there's room to say that also. Oftentimes we find in the Mishnah words might be missing, either because there was a mistake or because maybe it was an easier read, it's easier
that
quote to help
but
remember.
Here it's like one phrase. Right. Okay.
We do have that though. We have chasur mechzers all the time.
Right. That
things are left out.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So says the Gemara. Molichin kelim u'mevin mebeisum. When you could bring the kelim and you could bring things from the place where they were being fixed. So Amar Papa Baduk Lon Rava. Rava searched around, he was doing some research. And Tanan Molichan Umavin Kalum Ibesa Uman Apapish Ain Litzarchamor. And he found the Mishnah that said you can which is our Mishnah, that you can bring the Kalim from the house even though it wasn't for the purpose of the Moed. Says the Gemara Uminhu, we have Brisa that says Ain Mavin Kalum Ibesa Uman. You're not allowed to bring kalim from the place where they're being fixed. Maybe he's going to steal them. You can take them from the chatzer to place it in a different chatzer. Rashi says, next to the trader, the one fixing it. But you can't do all this extra tircha, because it's Erev Pesach, or it's Chol HaMoed, not sure where it's talking about just yet, but let's say it's Erev Pesach, you can't do this extra tircha. So you can't bring it all the way to the house, but you can move it to a chatzer next to the Beis Uman. At least it's out of the house for the Beis Uman, where you could watch over it a little bit better. Maybe your neighbor could watch over it a little bit better, but you can't completely move it to your house. So there's a steer in the two statements, whether you can bring it to your house, whether you cannot. And Rav answers, lo kasher, kan bar basar, kan b'chol shemoid. When it comes to our basar, where we keep seeing leniencies, so one can bring it all the way to his house. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, you can only bring it to the chatzer next to, adjacent to the Beis Uman. V'bayis ema, alternatively, they're both talking about Chol HaMoed. One's talking about a case where you believe him. Says Rashi, where we trust him, he's not going to sell him to somebody else, my kalim that I had, then we don't allow you to bring it. But if we do not trust him, then we do allow you to bring it back to your house. And Rashi says, alternatively, Lishna Achrina Ma'amino Shlo Yitba Scharo Pamarcher. So he's not going to claim you pay another time. Hutzarch Lisachar Achshav. So therefore, that's another heter. Says Rashi, says the Gemara rather, V'hatan, it doesn't the Brisa teach us, this B'nichusa, it's not an Akasha, Rashi says B'nichusa, it's as a support, we find this a number of times in Shas, that some comes to support this answer, Mavin, Kalim, Mibesa, Uman, you can't bring this Kalim from the house of the Uman, the person who's fixing them. Kigon, Hakad, Mibes, Hakadar, this type of jug that's being fixed. Vakos, Mibesa, Zag, and a glass that's being fixed. Aval, Lotzemer, Mibesa, Tsev, not a wool that was being dyed. Lo, Kalim, Mibesa, Uman, and not other general kalim that is being brought from the house being fixed. Vim ein lo mayocha, but if he has nothing to eat, nosin lo scharo or minicha etzlo. If the I think if the uman probably has nothing to eat, right? Then you are allowed to pay him, give him the money now, but you have to leave the kalim next to him. Vim ein ma'amino, though, if you don't believe him that he's you don't believe he's gonna he might make you pay again, or he might sell it to somebody else. If you don't trust him, then manich beis hasamach lo. Then you could place it in the house next to him. Maybe he's going to steal it. So you could probably bring it into your house. So,
what's the difference between what?
That's the difference between what? Sorry.
You know, maminum and v'imchoshes shema ignovo. I ignovo from the next door's house.
From the next. Is that how you read it?
Otherwise, yes. Otherwise.
What's the next door's house?
Maybe somebody will steal. Not necessarily the Uman, no, but somebody will steal. Yeah. Right, it's not protected, right? So okay. So the Gemara says. So that's how the Gemara wanted to bring this as a raya. We see it is Taloyon Bamino or Eino Mamino. That supported the last answer. So the Gemara says Tirtas Mevian Molichin Kasha. So you've answered the question. Rashi says Tirtas Mevian. This is the last narrow line down. Tirtas Mevinan. The Masnisin says Ve'ein Mevin Demoid Katan. So when the Mishnah says that you cannot bring it, that's referring to Moed Katan, the Mishnah Moed Katan, you can't bring it, that refers to Chol Shel Moed. Both of Chol Moed, and our Mishnah is a case where you don't believe him, so that our case is you don't believe him, that's why you have to bring him home. The case in Moed Katan is where you do believe him, you can't bring him home. About Molich and Kasha, how can you be Molich? How could you bring Kalim to his house? The Kasani Rashi said, "The Kasani Masnisim Molichin, you're allowed to get it." V'hasam my ain mamino hiika. What is there not to believe in the guy collecting payment? V'hi Katani ain mavin v'kolshkin ain Molichin. So you haven't answered Molichin. So therefore, the Kasas Kasha. So Tirchus mavin Molichin Kasha. The Gemara says, "The Kasani ain mavin," and you can't bring it over to the. You can't bring it back from the house. From the house of the Uman v'kolshkin ain Molichin. The Gemara says, "Certainly, you cannot bring it to the house, let alone bring it back." From the house, El Mechavisa Kedashina Meikara. Therefore, they don't like this very last answer. It's not both talking about a case of Chol Moed, whether you believe him or you don't believe him. Rather, it goes back to the initial answer that our Mishnah here is talking about Yudalid, where it more lenient is. Therefore, you're allowed to Molichin and you could do Mevin. And the case in Moed Katan is talking about Chol Moed, where you cannot Molichin and you cannot Mevin either. Okay.
So you will be Molichin.